It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Center gives to Michelle, runs it left, dive to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
This is Sonny Michelle from your 6-time Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots. On your flagship station for Patriots football, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Toucher. I can't believe he did that.
Rich.
Didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Brady takes the snap. Play fake to Burkett. Throws it left for Harry. Makes the catch. Tries to get outside. Slips and hit to the 10. Harry to the 5. Barrels over a defender. Diving to the pylon. No signal yet. Patriots waiting to celebrate. Now they can. Touchdown, New England.
You got to be kidding me. First snap of the game. He looks confused in motion. Brady resets it. Then he keeps coming underneath. What a physical run.
The official's now going to say he was out at the 3.
No, he never stepped out.
But he did not step out of bounds.
This crew's lost.
We're playing Cameo unironically.
Hell yeah.
Do your dance.
No. Erase it from
it's not unironically. It's the new system, and I can't find anything.
Yeah, just please get
everything,
rid of
everything is just labeled funk.
Just get rid of Cameo immediately. Oh, Cameo.
I don't even think that was part of our fun collection. I think that was something else.
Yes, so. I think that smells like Zolak is all over that. I have a certain reputation uphold. I can't be playing Cameo in here.
We can start busting out Christmas songs. I see the Dio Christmas song sitting here right across from me.
There is a Ronnie James Dio Christmas song?
Come on.
Oh, creepy. I am only 2'7". I'm like an evil elf shooting miniature fireballs at your feet with my sorcery power.
There's a hologram tour of him.
Merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ the Savior.
He winks when he says that.
May I please sit on your shoulders, sir, so I can press the button on the elevator to my apartment? No, I don't need the children's meal. I am an adult. I cannot ride all the rides at Six Flags.
I reached the pedals. All right, Bert Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for MMQB. If you're looking to lose weight, ask your doctor if they would recommend a plan with prepackaged food and shakes or a real meal plan with healthy food with New England fat loss. All right, Bert, so we've been taking, and people very angry at me for saying the Patriots are dirty cheaters, but it turns out that this is maybe not that big a deal.
Well, I think if you ask the Bengals, they are going to, how do I put this? They don't want this treated like a joke, right? Like, and I think there's this fatigue over these things happening where I think they sort of sense that, like, some people have turned this into a joke, and it's not. I mean, it's just the league has to take care of these sorts of things.
How much power does the owner of the Bengals
have? I believe the Patriots story. Like, I want to be clear about that. Like, I do think that, like, I can take it on its face for what it is, that that crew was there. One guy was trying to do his job, messed up, right? Like, the guy who was the cameraman there, just like, hey, like, well, this, and the scout told me, like, this is what he watches, so this is what I'm going to tape. And, you know, like an idiot, he set up the tripod right in front of the Bengals scouts, a line of the Bengals scouts, and got busted. That said, like, what's on the tape doesn't look good. Doesn't look good.
So do you know exactly, because I've just heard the description of the tape. What do you know about
what it? I know about what's on the tape is, like, and this is what somebody who's, this is what's going around the Cincinnati building right now. The tape shows footage of the Bengals bench area toggling back and forth between players in the field and coaches.
Which is where you find the signals. It seems like
it's not just like a straight shot of the sideline. It's the sideline.
There's toggling. There's some toggling back and forth.
Yes. Okay, so it wasn't just a tripod.
Yeah, I mean, zooming.
So my understanding is that the guy walked away from the tripod at one point, and then, you know, that's where they saw the viewfinder and, like, wait a minute, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, and like any football person, I don't care what team you're working for, and I know people have said, well, it's the Bengals. Well, any football person sees someone in like someone who looks like he's from out of town setting up a tripod.
Wait, a Bruins jersey on.
looks in the viewfinder and sees, like, Zach Taylor in the viewfinder.
Well, my favorite part of the story is that, so I mean, I yesterday and the last couple of days, Jeff Howe wrote an article a few days ago saying that the scout was right next to them, and I'm like, all right, well, these video cameramen, maybe they don't know you're not supposed to do that. The scout absolutely knows you can't videotape the field or the sideline. And now, and then Jeff Howe came out with an article yesterday, which it sounds like it was fed to him by the Patriots. And the explanation is, oh, no, the scout was in the third row, but the camera was in the front row of the press box. So there's no way, because hang on, so you're telling me it was in front of him, and there's a giant video camera set up for, of course he saw it. The guy from the Bengals saw it in the viewfinder. Everyone in that box could see what was going on. Of course, what did he think they were filming if not the field or the sidelines? He knows the rules.
Yeah, the scout does.
The scout knows the rules.
And in the scout's defense, sometimes these press boxes are bigger, and maybe the cameraman was looking for, and the Browns press box is sort of, it's a big area, but it's sort of like if you're one end of it, you probably wouldn't be able to see what was going on at the other end of it. And so,
and you could also make the argument maybe he wasn't even thinking about it.
Right. And, like, I don't think that the guy who was taking the footage, mm-hmm. like, I don't think the guy who was taking the footage fully knew about the rules, which is on the Patriots,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
if you
yeah.
are sending a camera person
yeah.
into another team's stadium and you are not playing a game in that stadium and that person is on their own, it is on you to give that person instructions. Hey, this is what you don't do.
Yeah.
Okay? You do not shoot signals. You do not shoot their sideline, especially if you're the Patriots. Because if there's one piece of equipment, there is one piece of equipment that any New England Patriots employee or anybody sure. working for the New England Patriots yeah. cannot be caught doing anything even close to out of bounds with, it is a video camera.
So you and I both agree. I mean, I don't know if you agree. But
yeah.
I think that the information that you get from that, and I've heard coaches apparently make statements saying that, no, you can find information, you know, when you film the sidelines. There's definitely information you could learn. But to me, it almost seems negligible. You could get someone in the stands to record it. I understand all of that. Mm-hmm. So on the surface, it shouldn't be a big punishment. But
here's the thing.
They've been punished for this before.
Yeah.
They've been warned. And usually when you get punished for the same thing twice, the penalty doesn't go down. It goes up.
So, like, I made this analogy earlier in the week, right? Like, you remember when USC got in trouble in the Reggie Bush scandal, right?
Yeah.
Well, like, what would people think if one of Pete Carroll's assistants was, like, spotted in a car dealership with a recruit a few weeks later?
Yeah, I know.
Same thing.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. And they're like, just, there are certain things, like, when you get caught doing something, like, you can't, like, you, like, I heard someone else make the analogy, like, if your parents caught you smoking when you were a kid, like, if they smell anything on you after that, like, they're
you've lost the benefit of the doubt.
Right. Like, you've completely lost the benefit of the doubt.
But I'd say, yeah, daddy, okay, you can't.
Learned it from watching you.
Right.
That guy had a whole rig set up. That guy was just shooting. Right. He was shooting for speedballs.
So we know that in the Deflategate punishment, the reason that they got the hammer so hard was that there were other owners that were pushing Roger Goodell to lay down the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else outside of the Bengals? Because I almost think that they got it out of their system with Deflategate, and I might be wrong about that. like, is there any outside forces trying to push for this to be a big punishment on the Patriots, or is it just the Bengals?
Not that I know
and
of.
How much power do they yield?
The sense I got, like, and look, like, yeah. I think that the other side of this is that, you know, every team has one of these in-house video operations now. Every single team has website people, has video people, has, like, there's the entertainment side of this that, like, I think is, like, I think, especially this week, Belichick would tell you, like, if he's being honest about it, it's an annoyance. You know, like, most football coaches and personnel people see, like, the fact that there's all this sort of entertainment side stuff that teams do.
It's like, let me do my job.
It's like, I mean, it's like, but they, you know, you also have to understand.
You should copyright that. Do your job.
I should.
But you also have to understand, if you're one of these guys, you know, it's the reason why you're making $7, $8, $9 million a year is because people want this sort of stuff.
It's part of the gig.
Yeah. So, like, I think that for, you know, to your question, like, when it comes to other owners, like, they understand there are entanglements that go along with having both sides that don't really jibe with one another.
So that's good news. So, like, it sounds like there's an understanding.
I don't think it's going to be
it's not going to be a huge deal.
It's going to be, no, I think there's going to be a significant punishment.
Well, that's the,
but okay, I don't think, but I don't think anybody believes that Bill Belichick put this cameraman on a plane.
And I agree, but does that matter is the big question.
They have to come down on him a little bit.
Draft pick?
Not impossible. I don't know.
Wow. If they lose a draft pick, that's nuts.
I don't know. But like, we've seen this in the past. Like, the Chiefs, a couple years ago, like, there was a tampering case. I can't remember who the free agent was. Mm-hmm. But you know who it was? It was Jeremy Maclin.
Okay.
And if you guys remember, Andy Reid had the previous relationship with Jeremy Maclin from having coached him in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles wound up signing him. And there was some level of contact, and it was minor.
Yeah.
But there was some level of contact between, like, someone with the Chiefs and Maclin, and it related to Reed's relationship with Maclin from before.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of, like, hey, maybe there was a misunderstanding.
That type of stuff happens all the time. Yep. Like, if you go to the Combine in Indianapolis, there's rampant tampering, right?
Yep.
But because there was a prior relationship there, and it's something teams could, like, it's a lever a team could pull. Like, if there's a previous relationship.
What was the punishment?
So it wound up being a draft pick.
Okay. Wow.
I think it was like a fourth or a fifth round pick. Now, we'll Google it in the break or whatever. But
there's two draft picks.
Yeah, there was, but it was draft picks, right?
Yeah.
And so.
Jeremy Maclin, Colorado?
So.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, baby. Uh-huh. All right,
no,
we
went to Missouri.
Missouri.
No, but no.
Oh,
but,
Missouri. Ah, Missouri. Brad Smith.
Chase Daniel.
All right, so we'll be right back.
Bang, bang. I gotta beat this damn line. It's only 10:50. The open doors at 11, but you're in a rush. I got the money to swing it. It's all Ken Griffey. But so does this bum in front of me, smelling like a lush. And there's a woman in front of him who forgot to brush.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Tuncher and Rich.
This is the song on the new Czarface album about the guy who keeps effing up his Chipotle order.
It's impossible to barbacoa. Actually, I'll have the chicken, sir, because my heart is slower. But me, I get the same every time. From the same kid every time.
All right. Bert Breer from MMQB. So you guys were talking about... Wait, you got something?
Yeah. I did want to ask you about this thing that the NFL released this week that, to me, just sounds like another one of those, we're going to do what's right. We're going to investigate this, look at the from the top down re-evaluation of the officiating in the NFL. They released that statement because it's been week after week after week. It's been embarrassing and awful and bad. And that's the story. It seems like how many weeks in a row has it been on Monday morning? The story has been they blew this call, they blew that call. And, of course, in the Patriots game, we saw, I mean, that was so egregious at the end, especially the N'Keal Harry touchdown. And that made them release a statement saying this is all going to be re-evaluated. What does that even mean?
So, I actually wrote something on this yesterday. They at the owners' meeting this week in Dallas on Tuesday and Wednesday, Jeffrey Lurie, who was like the champion in the room for the Sky Judge last year, stood up and basically challenged the rest of the owners and said, I want to do a deep dive into officiating. I want everything researched, and I want to discuss this in March. And I think we need to look at changing the paradigm of officiating in the NFL. And what does that mean? Well, that means looking at absolutely everything on the way that they officiate the game. And his whole thing is, we're so worried about the wrong things, and we're sitting here, and every year we're plugging leaks, and the things become so bastardized and so messed up. And who are we serving when we're doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And so his whole thing was, let's like look at changing the way the game is officiated. And one of the examples that was brought up to me was, well, do we really need to flag something that's happening 30 yards away from the play? Do we really need to be like, there are certain things that are like just common sense changes that they can make where it's, it'll affect pace of play. It'll affect the viewer experience.
Oh, I like that.
And it would like,
30, I like that. Just not throwing any flags, like holding that is way far away from the play.
Or, it's never going to happen.
See, I don't think so either.
Because those
coaches
say,
will not agree with
no,
that.
No, hang on. Because they'll say that
coaches can take advantage of it as a thing.
Well, and the thing, yeah, that's the thing, that they're going to say, well, just because it was 30 yards away from the play doesn't mean that it didn't affect the play because it took that receiver or whatever out of the play.
Right. I mean, I think the larger point is, and it's not just that. That's just an example. But the larger point is, like, let's look at this with a common sense perspective instead of every year, like, basically doing crisis management, right? Like every year something goes wrong.
What is the sky, Judge? Can you kind of, because I keep hearing you talking about it.
All right, so like what a lot of people don't realize, and I had a coach, I mentioned this on the Midday Show yesterday, I had a coach actually tell me about this where last, like it was September, October, when Mason Rudolph took the hit from Earl Thomas, right?
Yeah, right.
They actually used a sky judge on that. And if you watch the play and you go back and you can watch the broadcast copy, right, you'll see he got hit, right? Like after he got hit, Fox, I think it was, cut to commercial, okay? So they go to commercial. They come back to commercial. It was CBS because it's an AFC game. They go to commercial. They come back from commercial, and there's a flag on the ground. Well, what happened there wasn't River on. That was the replay official up in the booth who called down to the head official and said, drop the flag. Now, a lot of people don't know that, but both Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh were told on the field, like, oh, well, what the hell happened there? It's like, well, the guy upstairs looked at the play and said it was obvious, just dropped the flag. That's a sky judge.
Okay. So,
that's a sky judge.
But there was time, they went to commercial, though, after that. Like, is that something that can be used in the speed of regular gameplay?
Yes. And here's where I think it comes in, okay? You give the person, you give the person in the... in the booth, you give him, or you put him in the TV truck, wherever you want to put him, give him access to all of the different angles, give him an access to the live broadcast, give him the benefit of everything that we have sitting at home on our couch, right? Give him all of that and give him a microphone, and he has a direct line and he can buzz down to the head official. And so if something obvious goes wrong, he buzzes down to the head official and says, pick up the flag, drop the flag. That's a touchdown. That's not a touchdown. Now, a lot of people have said, well, you know, then you'd be governing every play. No, because the play clock governs that, right? So the play clock basically puts a governor on how many plays can be overturned. So you have 40 seconds, basically. If it's obvious, you're going to be able to catch most of them.
Yeah.
If it's obvious, we're able to catch most of them. How often do you see, like, they show a replay, right? They'll show a replay and be, oh, my God, what the hell's going on? And then they'll cut back, and then you see the offense kind of rushing to the line,
right?
And they're trying to get it off because they know that, like, we got away with one there, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, if you've got the guy upstairs and it's governed by that small amount of time, where you don't need to look at 15 different angles,
one angle
shows you,
yep.
Then the guy upstairs is going to buzz down, and say, pick up the flag, throw the flag. He was in bounds. He was out of bounds. That was a touchdown. That wasn't a touchdown.
I like that.
And it's and you know what else you do to speed up the game more? Take away the challenge system. Now that guy's in charge of it.
Yeah. So there's because the
challenge. That's another great point.
So, like, to me, I tell you this. I brought the idea of this up. Like, so this was sort of a talking point before the owners meeting in March. And so I texted 25 head coaches the night before I traveled. I just, like, let's see what I can get back, right? Texted 25 of them, and I got 19 responses right almost within 45 minutes. Simple question, do you want a sky judge? So I got 19 responses from the 25 coaches, and I heard from more after, but of the quick, like, 45-minute, within 45-minute responses, 15 yeses, Two, I'm not sure because I'm not sure how it will work. And two no's, but both the no's were with, but if you put something interesting in front of me, I would think about it. Think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost unanimous. Then they met at the owners' meetings, and over 2 days they came up with a plan for a sky judge. And they unanimously went to the owners with a plan for a sky judge. Okay? Then the owners come back to them. They go back and forth a little bit. Al Riveron gets involved, and the pass interference review was actually a compromise coming off the sky judge. That was where Jeffrey Lurie stood up after that and said, I hope this is a step in that direction.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, I mean, here's the easiest way to put it, guys. All right. Like me, you, we all have the benefit of 15 different angles in crystal clear HD instantaneously yep. sitting on our couch at home.
We know right away.
How freaking asinine. Is it that the guy who's 10 yards away from what's happening doesn't have that benefit? The guy who's in charge of running the game
yep.
does not have that benefit. How insane is it that, like, you, Rich, sitting on your couch in Boston
yep.
last night watching Jets-Ravens,
like, well, you part of it.
You have until it got out of hand.
yeah.
But you had the benefit of that.
Yep.
But the guy standing on the field in Baltimore who's in charge of the game does not have the benefit
it's
of
idiotic.
It.
It's idiotic. And I like the fact that finally someone has said we need to cut. I mean, that to me was always the easiest solution. And why it took this long, I have no idea.
They'll find a way to screw it up.
I mean, it's Al Riveron, too. I mean, like, I think the officials pushed back on it. And I don't call for people's jobs much, but Al Riveron should be out.
Oh, no question.
Out.
Things like, are like, out
get
of
him,
control.
Get him out of there. Because what happened last weekend is another example of how the relationship between the coaches and the league is broken. Because, and I'm just telling you, these coaches do not trust Al Riveron. They look at what's happened with the pass interference reviews.
And they think it's bitterness. That
they think
not
it's retaliation.
Yep, yep.
They think absolutely. It's retaliation.
That they're not getting those calls.
How has it gotten to that point?
Because they're pissed.
How is it?
You question my judgment?
It's gotten to that point. Yep. Now it's gotten to that point. Like, and this guy, Al Riveron, one of his primary jobs is to manage the relationship between the coaches and the league. What kind of job is he doing on that?
He's doing a lousy job.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back. First of all, Bert in the tabloids. You see, I saw that and I was like, what in the heavens? But it was an innocent thing. The woman saying that she was wearing the Fitbit. And then her boyfriend saw that she was humping.
I feel bad for Jane. That was a tough one.
No,
but she tweeted that out there. Oh, yeah, yeah.
She was having fun with it.
She found out it was one of the reporters for NFL Network. And is that
yeah.
that's right?
Jane Slater, yeah.
Jane Slater. She found out that her boyfriend was cheating on her because he bought her a Fitbit.
She
bought him a Fitbit.
They both had Fitbits.
Yeah,
yeah, but it was just her. Like kind of
no,
like
no, no. He was the one cheating.
Oh.
Yeah, and so she saw that in the middle of the night at like 4 a.m., his heart rate like went through the roof. And so she busted him having sex because he was wearing his Fitbit and they were sharing each other's data because, hey, let's get fit together. And he completely forgot
about
it.
You know what the Bobby Brown would have said? Ain't nobody humping around.
Yep, that's right.
His
if he wants to do it, it's his Friday.
It is. He wants to wear a mic.
Sorry to step on you. I pulled the wallet there.
Well, now he's all on his own, on their own. The Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack.
Yeah, that was not a good one. All right. You guys were talking about the Saban and Belichick thing off the air. I have a question for Bert regarding something that was said during that. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Got to say, so you guys, I want to hum them around. All right, so Bert Breer from MMQB is in here. So I've always wondered about this, and you can kind of see it with Tannehill right now, who's taken off now that he's no longer coached by Adam Gase. But
wow, you've really soured on the coach of the Jets.
Well, he hasn't done much to not have me sour on him, but it has nothing to do with the Jets. It's that Saban and Belichick said that great players can't overcome bad coaching.
Right.
So,
and they brought up the kick six play, right?
Yeah.
The Auburn play, and then Belichick brought up Miami Miracle.
Right. And so, but in terms of developing guys in the NFL, Is there a belief that, like, if so-and-so got drafted by a different team, his story would have been different?
100%. I mean, like, you look at, like, Alex Smith, like, the beginning of his career. He's a good example, I think, right, of a guy who, you know, was a good athlete, smart, like, had a lot of things that you'd want in a young quarterback, played for Urban Meyer at Utah, and got to the NFL, and his first coordinator was Mike McCarthy, left after 1 year. To become the head coach of the Packers. Then I think Norv Turner came in and replaced him in 06, and he left. Like, he wound up with, I think it was 5 or 6 different coordinators in his first 6 years. And then Jim Harbaugh came in 2011, and all of a sudden his career took off. But right, by then, so many people had formed their opinions of him,
yeah,
that it was like, oh, well, this is who Alex Smith is. And he was, I think at that point, like 27, 28 years old. And so I think, you know, as important as that position is, like the quarterback position is, it's almost more important to the development of the quarterback of, like who's around him, what's around him. Like, is the coach right for him? Does he have the right system? Is it the right system that he's in? What do his teammates look like? And I look at Baker Mayfield as a good example of that. I think, like, do I think that he has... do I think that he's way worse than Carson Wentz or Patrick Mahomes? No, I don't. I think Carson Wentz and Patrick Mahomes had incredible situations their first couple years in the league. And if you look at it, right, like look at the coaching staffs in those places. Like, so Carson Wentz comes in 16. His head coach is Doug Peterson. His offensive coordinator is Frank Reich. His quarterback's coach is John DeFilippo. He has Jason Peters and Lane Johnson at the tackles, right? Like two, like all pro level tackles, Jason right. Kelsey at center. Like, that's a hell of a start. You know, Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes goes there. Not only does he have Andy Reid, Matt Nagy's his offensive coordinator, like who's now the head coach of the Bears. You have Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher at the tackle positions. Schwartz was a big ticket free agent pickup. Fisher was the first overall pick in the draft.
Central Michigan, baby.
Yeah. Mitch Morris at center. So, like, those guys had incredible situations. Baker Mayfield, why couldn't he take the momentum he had in year one and carry it over to year two? Offensive line fell apart. Coaching staff's kind of a mess right now. Like, all that's based on environment. Jared Goff, another example. Jared Goff was really, really good in 2017 and 2018. Not as good as a rookie. Why? Jeff Fisher was the coach in 16. McVay came in 17 and 18. Hasn't been as good this year. What's the difference? They lost two offensive linemen, John Sullivan and Roger Saffold in free agency, and Todd Gurley isn't quite what he was. All of this stuff is pretty easily explainable. You know, like Tom Brady comes in and...
If he's on most other teams, maybe he doesn't get an opportunity to play.
I mean, that's... Yeah, I mean, like, you can look at Brady, right? So you're a sixth-round pick. Maybe you go to another team and the coaching staff doesn't know quite what they're doing. And maybe you, like, look good in practice the first year, but then that coaching staff gets fired.
Right.
Now new coaches come in, they draft another quarterback in the third or fourth round, say, and there are two other quarterbacks in the roster. Now maybe you're not getting a lot of reps in practice. What happens? You get cut.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just so much of this can be environmental. Brady, you can take it to another level, and I think Tom's the greatest of all time, but... Like, what were they asking of him that first year he was starting?
Just game manager.
He won the parking spot that summer. Like, he was actually a big deal because Bledsoe signed that big deal.
Right.
They had the construction coming in, and they brought in Damon Heward, who actually was pretty successful. He was the fourth quarterback, and everything, all you heard about was this kid, Brady at practice. And then finally when Bledsoe went down, like, you saw that he beat everybody out.
Well,
they kept four quarterbacks. Like, that was unheard of.
Yeah, and, like, how many teams pull the trigger on that, though?
Right, but, like, if say, like, he's in a situation where the coach gets fired after year one, does he make the team the next year? Maybe not. Right now, and then you're probably, if you're him, then you kind of move into that journeyman category where you're going, like, okay, like, well, I'm going to sign here, I'm going to sign there. And before you know it, like, you know, you're...
And he didn't have, like,
maybe
the
you
skills.
Never, maybe you never really get a shot. Yeah. Like, and he doesn't have the skills that are going to jump out of practice.
Yeah.
Where somebody's going to be like, oh, wow, we got something to work with here. Russell Wilson's another perfect example of somebody who walked into, and again, he's made the most of his opportunity the same way Brady did. But I think his trajectory is a lot like Brady's. Yeah. He went into a really great situation. They weren't asking a ton of him to begin with.
Flynn got that big deal.
He had a great defense he was working with. Mm. And you know what? That bought him time to develop. And God bless him, he made the most of it. You know, like that's exactly what Brady did. Brady walked into a great situation, had people invest in him, and he made the most of his opportunity.
Yeah, and that's like, I've heard that about Alabama, is that sometimes guys at Alabama don't work out in the NFL because they're not coached as well.
What you see is what you get, too.
Yes.
That's the other part of it is like one, the reputation is they get a little beat up because that program's so demanding. But the other thing is that they're maxed out, like, right? Like, are you going to be more well-coached in the NFL than you were at Alabama? Probably not.
Right.
Like, you know, it's sort of like with Alabama guys, it's like, and NFL teams have sort of started to look at it this way. It's like, all right, like whatever we're seeing out there in the field, Nick Saban is probably getting the most out of that guy.
Right.
So don't like think that you're going to like, don't think that the guy's going to show up in the NFL and you're all of a sudden going to find something that Nick Saban didn't see.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's interesting because you just look at so many guys' careers and you think if their situation was different, how things would have turned out.
Well, I mean, think about this, guys. So, and you take it to another level with the quarterbacks. So, I don't know if this story's been out there, but the Ravens drafted Chris Redman in the third round in 2000, okay? Think about this. So, in their draft room that year, there's the old legend in the Baltimore Ravens organization is a quarterbacks coach on that on that staff at the time stood on the table and yelled to draft Tom Brady over Chris Redman. Guy's name was Matt Kavanaugh, okay? He played in the NFL. He's been a quarterbacks coach in the NFL forever. What if he had won that argument? So now you'd have the Baltimore Ravens who are, like, that was the year 2000 where they had the historic defense. And now you've got a developmental quarterback on the roster, Tom Brady.
Yeah. Redman was here as New England for a little bit, I believe. Huh?
So think about this. Like, so if you're Matt Kavanaugh, right, who is the quarterback's coach, who was the champion for Tom Brady in that room, all right, say you win that argument, you get Tom Brady, right? So then you get Tom Brady. Maybe they wind up winning 5 Super Bowls instead of one, right? Because Brady develops, right? Mm. So what happens to Matt Kavanaugh's career now? Well, probably whoever's the offensive coordinator in Baltimore, because he's got Brady, maybe he goes on to become a head coach somewhere else. Kavanaugh becomes the offensive coordinator. They
like
keep succeeding.
Cam Cleland then, or something?
Now all of a sudden, Matt Kavanaugh is Josh McDaniels, right? So now all of a sudden, Matt Kavanaugh, who's never been a head coach in the NFL, like now all of a sudden he is, and what does that equate, like, money-wise?
Right, yeah, you're losing millions and millions and millions of dollars.
It could be tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Can we ask Bert on the other side what he thinks of McDaniels?
Yes.
Curious
about
it.
We can do that. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
Real quick, I know Joe's got to ask something, but I'm furious. So yesterday, real quick, it was the worst traffic that I've sat in, I think, in Boston ever. I mean, ever. And Bert's got his thumbs up, too.
There was an explanation for it, too, right? There was some construction, Leverett Circle.
Leverett Circle, which we know where that is. I mean, that's right where Sturro and Charles Street and, like, 93 and the Brit. I mean, everything comes from Cambridge Street. Everything meets right there.
Right by MGH.
Right by MGH. I mean, it affects everybody if that thing's backed up. And in the middle of rush hour, they decided to install handicap ramps in the middle of rush hour.
Oh.
Why they do that?
What's a handicap ramp?
I actually don't know, but I read and it said what is the handicap ramp?
I thought essentially what they were doing is a construction at the edge of a street.
For the sidewalk.
For the curbing, yes. You have to have the correct, you know.
And you know what?
The curbing is gone. So
what works for you guys? Say 4 o'clock. Let's do it at 4 o'clock.
So
the night of a Celtics game.
On the night of a Celtics game. So yesterday, I think it was around like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I had to take Sturro Drive, And I got on Sturo Drive right over kind of near where the Copley Square exit is. And I got on and I just stuck. It was like the minute you pull out.
And there's nothing worse than being stuck on Sturo Drive because it's two lanes. You can't change lane. It is awful.
If I would, it's one of those things where, like, if I would have known 15 feet behind me that I was going to be stuck in this, I could have gotten out of it.
Right. And that's the worst because like when you're getting on there and there's like that alley where you can get off and the regret of being like 10 feet past that alley when you know you're screwed.
So I sat there at that little turn, stuck on that turn for 40 minutes looking at a street that was maybe, you know how it is, like an eighth of a mile.
Right.
Maybe like 40 yards or something in front of you that I know if I could just get to that damn street, I can take a right, get on Charles, and I'm out of this. I sat there and stared at that thing about 40 yards away for almost 40 minutes.
That's unbelievable.
That road.
And that'll make you want to punch through a windshield.
It was insanity. And everyone, it didn't only affect that area. I just happened to be right in the anus of it. But it just, the arms spread all throughout the highways. It was all over 90 yesterday. You're in the tunnel? Oh my God.
You should have thanked your lucky stars you weren't in the tunnel.
I was.
You were stuck in the tunnel?
I posted a video of it.
Yep.
Yeah,
he posted a video of him. I tweeted about it yesterday.
How long were you in the tunnel?
I don't know, 45 minutes.
And you didn't lose your mind?
Of course I did. I had shows on the radio, too.
I have a real question. Because it's like cognitive behavioral therapy, but through another person. How did you control your thoughts?
I was listening to Adam Jones,
which made it even worse.
I would be
who I love.
I might, you know how when people
I'm sorry, Fred, but this is what tipped me going. So I tweeted something yesterday. I'm trying to do people a service. I said, don't come into Boston tonight. Traffic is the worst in the city that I've ever seen. I said, I'm sure there's some logical explanation, which I was saying sarcastically, but whatever you have planned tonight, it's not worth it. And I just got this. So I get one last night that's like, why don't you try public transportation for once, okay? Yeah, the MBTA is doing real good right now.
Real well.
Everything's just sunny side up with the trains in town. Oh, and these jackets. Get a bike. And I'm like, yeah, it's 20 effing degrees. Get a bike. There's ice on the roads. Are you out of your mind? And I love how they just immediately think that everyone lives close to a line. Like, everyone's right there in a line. Now, me, obviously, I could take public transportation. But in this case, I didn't know I was going to be stuck in this traffic. It sucked. And then there's this. Oh, God, and I got this last night. Here's a tweet from someone just now. There's a magical way to find out if there's traffic. It's called Waze. You sound like a boomer.
No, never use Waze.
Waze sucks.
Never use Waze.
No, I like Waze,
sucks.
But it's not accurate.
No, never use Waze because Waze is completely user-driven. So even if it can save you a fraction of a second at one particular point, do not use Waze.
Yeah, listen, traffic
will take you off the freeway.
On top of that, traffic's always bad. I know that, and I understand that in the city of Boston at rush hour. Yesterday was apocalyptic.
Okay. So, you were in Sturo, though, which it does not freak me out. Joe is in the tunnel.
Right.
So you have like a fear that the tunnel's going to collapse?
Yeah.
No, it's called. How can you be a human being being trapped in a tunnel that's underwater, or if it's not underwater,
under skyscrapers.
I try not to think about that.
Miles like miles long, with no shoulder, and like so like even if like say you had a heart attack, I have no idea how they get in there, and so I don't know how you can mentally. Like, the amount of, like, meditation, the amount of mind control you would have to be able to sit in that thing.
It doesn't even matter.
I honestly, at the point, I'm at the point now with traffic where I will actively seek out back roads.
I do the same thing.
Even if it takes me
long. All the time, I have to move. Yeah. Just get me moving.
I do the same thing going home from here.
Right.
I take all back roads.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what. It takes me a half an hour and 15 minutes of that is to get to the zoo.
And then there's guys like this.
And then the other 15 minutes goes fast. But I'll sit on Columbia
And I'll,
well, when I'm coming here in the morning, I go through Quincy.
Yeah.
I'll get off at the Bergen Parkway on Route 3, which is where the traffic really starts to get bad, and I'll come up through Quincy because it's just,
as long as I'm moving,
it's way better.
As long as I'm moving.
The other thing is Waze, you're depending on jackasses.
That's what I just said.
And someone said, I always post fake things on Waze just to mess with people. Absolutely.
No, dude, I had
to. You can post fake things on
Waze. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's how it works. People helping people or effing people over if they want to.
Waze is the, and I'll tell you this, and you're not going to believe me, but the only one that works is MapQuest. Is the MapQuest app, and people go,
I trust my Garmin.
Well, whatever.
MapQuest is old school, isn't it? Like, that's like,
I used to
print it out.
Yeah. But they have an app.
That was like,
but the old, the simplicity.
Yeah, it was like the next step after the AAA triptych.
The simplicity of the app is brilliance.
The
simplicity. Google Maps, I don't even, like, it reverses the world and, yeah, like,
yeah,
you know, like.
Well, Google Maps, like, yeah, like, you go into it and it's, like, it's constantly
like
moving.
Shifting.
And it's, like, changing the route every 3 seconds.
All right, just City of Boston, get your stuff together.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Get it together. And I've seen a
people
couple, and now,
well,
like, Boston Magazine wrote a huge article on it, and it doesn't seem to have a ton of answers. On top of that, the Globe's been on top of the Globe. Spotlight did a big thing on it. This is a major, major issue.
I remember when
And last night it just came to a head. It came to a head where everyone in unison just put a middle finger up and said, F the. It's causing people to leave the city.
Well, Joe, you're the same.
Because it wasn't weather-related. That's the other thing. It wasn't even weather-related.
Well, if they're leaving the city, that's good.
Joe, you grew up here around the same age as me. Yeah. I remember growing up, like, so me and Joe grew up here when the Big Dig was basically our entire childhood, right?
Yes.
Right, and like, we, like, the traffic was horrific, and you always heard that the only reason the traffic was bad was because of the Big Dig, and once it was complete, everything was going to be fixed.
It was worse.
Yeah, you got it, man.
The only thing I will say is the casino has actually helped. I thought it was going to be terrible.
Yeah. I take the boat.
But it's helped. Yeah.
Do you have to go through the tunnel to get to the casino?
You're going under a bridge.
I don't. I thought you'd come from the other side.
I don't care because I'm not going to be driving. Yeah. I'll be half in the bag by the time I get there.
Nice. It'll be fun tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get drunk, but I'm going to be out of there like 9:45. Passed out.
I just want to see Murray do that walk to the tables that he did yesterday when he made it rain with the arms out.
Yeah. Well, at least I got $2,000 in cash I can gamble away. All right, Bert, thank you so much for the time.
No problem. I'll get your Josh McDaniels question next week.
Yeah, next week.
All right, that's right. To Rich rudely interrupts.
What kind of
gimmick play can he do this week?
All right, yeah, I know. He's desperate. All right, we will be back. No commercials here, just the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.